And welcome into the Wednesday edition of the very, very fun and qualified Chase and Big Joe show here on 102.5 The Game. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos back of the studio. We are on the campus of Middle Tennessee State University and their beautiful new athletic facility. We're overlooking Floyd Stadium. This is my first time in here. I know Joe has been here. This is so cool. This place is awesome. They got the big lightning bolt in the ceiling, which is really cool. And just this the SRM Concrete Club, which is where people can watch games. And we're excited to be here today with the Blue Raiders. Derek Mason is going to join us at 12:15. And look, I'm sure he has a lot he wants to discuss and get off his chest. It wasn't a good week one, but on to Wisconsin.
Well, I mean, we ask him. I mean, they've won some, they lose some. Coaches have been in this situation. All coaches have been on both ends of this, and you talk about it. I mean, you know, we've shown throughout our short time together that we will ask tough questions, and people appreciate it, and we'll just do that and go forward. But it's a beautiful day, and it's funny because I'm thinking on the way down here today, like, you got to travel to Murfreesboro. Like, right now the Cowboys are about to hop on a plane to go to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I mean, the NFL season is here.
It's here.
Tomorrow. And then the Chiefs, I guess they're flying down to Brazil to take on the Chargers Friday. So
sure, they're really excited about that.
Yeah, right? It's a nice haul. How do you get the – it's funny because last year when Miami played California in college football, they did an Instagram story about the Miami equipment van trailer driving from Miami to Berkeley.
Yeah.
And it took like 3.5 days and 8,000 miles. It was just fun watching that. And so now you got to travel way south to play a football game. And that's what the NFL has evolved into. It's this global thing now that nobody's going to stop. And it's so popular outside the state. But anyway, it's here. And then we'll go with it, man.
Yep, 100%. And then, of course, the build up to the Titans coming up on Sunday. You and I will have the pregame show starting at 1 o'clock from Twin Peaks in Madison. So we look forward to that and just getting ready for another Titan season. We'll get hot and heavy into them here in just a little bit. But you have an interesting question of the day as it pertains to the first NFL game tomorrow. You brought it up before the show, and I was like, man, that's a good one.
Yeah. So, you know, YouTube has helped out so much in all these questions that we got because there are things we talk about and things that go on that you don't remember these people. Like, I never saw the Beatles live, but on YouTube, I can see them live and all that. So, anyway, if you could bring back one announcer to call a football, to call the game tomorrow night, who would you bring back? One announcer to come back, living or dead, doesn't matter, to come back and call the game. Not so much an analyst, but an announcer. Who would you like to come back tomorrow and hear one more time? Or if you've never heard them before live, that opportunity to hear them live. I know it's an extreme hypothetical and all that, but it's fun with nostalgia to think about, man, who would you love to hear one more time call a game?
And our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical, your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com and text in 615-737-1025, our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. I'm going to go there. I probably have like 12 answers
sure.
to this question because I can look at it as, you know, guys that like Al Michaels is one of my all time favorites.
Great.
I love Al Michaels and he's still calling games, but, you know, not at the same level that he was. He's on Thursday night, was on Sunday night. So he'll always be top for me. But, you know, there are guys like Howard Cosell that I never got to hear live, but I've heard, you know, the recordings of. My dad would always impersonate Howard Cosell, you know, like would always do
right.
the voice and everything. And so, you know, he's one. But I'm going to go off the beaten path a little bit.
Okay.
And a guy that's known for another sport more than the NFL, but he did NFL games, Vin Scully.
Oh, yeah.
He did some games for CBS.
I think
he actually worked with Madden. Before Pat Summerall. Pat Summerall would probably be top for me, you know, if I'm going just straight NFL announcers. But Vin Scully, I mean, I that voice, like I heard him call a baseball game many times, never heard NFL live. Like that would be cool.
Now, Vin Scully called I forget where Sonny Gray was pitching, maybe the Twins. Or it might have been the Yankees when Sonny Gray was there. And he talked about Sonny Gray being born in Smyrna, Tennessee. And so you might know this, but Smyrna's got an Air Force base that in World War II, and he had this long diatribe about the Smyrna Air Force Base and the Smyrna Airport that I didn't even know. And I'm like, this is fascinating to me. So Vince Scully is one of those. Mine is, you probably never heard of him, but I just remember he called Big Ten football games, Michigan games back in the day, Anthony Carter, Kirk Gibson was at Michigan State, Rick Leach was a quarterback at Michigan. It was Chris Schenkel. He did bowling for many years, but he did football, did college football. And whenever I see his name or I think about him, I immediately think about Big Ten football and Anthony Carter in the late 70s with the Michigan Wolverines. And he was just – it wasn't flashy. It wasn't the best, but that voice, it just resonated. I remember watching games with my grandpa, and we'd see that. And Chris Schenkel would be on the call because he did bowling, and then he transferred into doing college football. So Chris Schenkel's one I'd love to hear again today.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. Do you ever have moments, just time out for a second, do you ever have moments where you realize that you forgot to do something, like right?
Hourly?
Hourly. So I was I just realized something. I was getting out of the car this morning here at MTSU, and I had all the equipment, and I had gotten a drink, and I set the drink on top of my car. It's still on the top of my car.
Oh, no. Well, maybe we can get our assistant to go down there.
I'll be curious to know if it's still there when I get back.
I hope it is. Somebody took your drink from you.
Well, it was in a plastic cup, so it doesn't matter. Okay. But I just realized that. You know, I think an answer to this question for Titans fans is probably going to be Mike Keith. Because you listen to Mike call the Vols games. Like I listened the other day, and I felt like I was listening to a Titans game. But he does such a wonderful job.
Yeah.
And look, I think Taylor Zarzar is a talented play-by-play guy. I think he will do a great job. It's unfortunate that he has to follow the only voice the Tennessee Titans have ever had, but that's the way it goes sometimes. But it's just I think you get so used to one voice,
right?
Whether it's on your TV or your radio or whatever.
Would that be too fresh?
That change is hard. But you got to give it. You got to give it some time. Like I think Taylor deserves a fair chance,
sure.
And knowing that it's going to be different. But I think it is too fresh. But like I know there are going to be Titans fans that are like, man, you know, it's weird without Mike Keith.
Yeah, I mean, I think Taylor does a great. I don't know him. I think he does a good job. The games I've listened into, which is fine, but. You think about, you know, it rolls around like iconic moments with
the
announcers.
We already have a text on Mike, by the way.
obviously, right? So, I mean, you think about like the Al Michaels thing when he did the Miracle on Ice. I mean, you don't know going into that what's going to happen. You just don't know. And the way he played it out was good. What's the great call by Joe Buck when the home run?
See you tomorrow night, which was his dad's.
Fantastic. Signature. And he shut up.
Yep.
And he just let it play out. I mean, well, those are good.
So what's funny, as a Braves fan, when I heard him do that, it kind of brought back memories because in 91, I guess it was, when Kirby Puckett hit the home run against the Braves, Jack Buck was on the call, and he said, we'll see you tomorrow night.
Yep.
Because that was his signature thing. So that was interesting. Let's see. Dylan in Antioch says, Frankie, talking about Frank Wycheck, RIP. That's a good one. Dude, Wes, sorry, man. He goes, damn it, Chase, I called in early today, so nobody would take my answer. I immediately hung up when he said most Titans fans will say Mike Keith. So that's my bad. I didn't see you on the hold yet, so that is my bad, sir. Larry says Dick Enberg. That's a good one.
Oh, that is a – I didn't even think about that one.
Enberg's a good one.
I got him early Super Bowls.
I got him on the back end of his career.
He did the Super Bowl No, you know what I'm thinking about? Kurt Gowdy. Kurt Gowdy called Super Bowls with Merlin Olsen, and it was like the Cowboys-Steelers Super Bowls in the 70s. Kurt Gowdy, so underrated as an announcer.
completely agree. Skyler likes Tony Romo as the color analyst. I like Romo.
Why don't people – I still don't understand why people don't like Romo.
Yeah. Nevada Josh, of course Madden, but Jerry the King Lawler and Jim Ross would be great to hear together again. Yes! That is a good one. Josh from Columbia, Mike Keith, it's going to be weird not hearing him call Titans games. Still doesn't seem real. Go Vols, though. Vincent and Dixon, hands down, football, John Madden, baseball, Vin Scully for the Dodgers. 2104, Harry Carey. Did he ever do – I think he did some football, too.
I thought he did. Early on, he did those.
You know, Ronald Reagan was a play-by-play.
Yeah. Where did Ronald Reagan go to college? I won some good money one time off this.
Because you knew the answer?
Knew the answer.
Northwestern?
Went to Wheaton College in Illinois. Oh, yeah.
Nice. 9944 says Keith Jackson, John Madden. Lenny says John Madden or John Gruden.
I like Gruden.
I
tell you what, man.
A lot of Keith Jackson, a lot of John Madden.
At the Cultural Hall of Fame, they have that display of great plays throughout the years. And it's you press a button, the video goes into Keith Jackson's voice.
Yeah.
And the last one is the Vince Young run.
I'm
telling you, man, you hear Keith Jackson. For Tennessee fans, when Keith Jackson and Frank Broyles called the Sugar Bowl in 86, the 85 season, in January of 86, and when Tennessee thumped Miami, and to hear Keith Jackson on that call was amazing. And God, that's been 40 years now.
Keith says all the guys from Jefferson Pilot Sports, specifically Dave Neal.
Preach, baby. Who says that? Keith?
Yeah.
And was it Tim Foley that was on there with him, and then it became David Archer? I think it was.
Dave Archer.
Who
I think does games with Durham.
On the Falcon games, maybe?
Yeah, or did him. Maybe you did Georgia Tech with them.
I think you're correct.
But, yeah, I know they worked together.
Yeah, those JP games. And Bob Kessling was a sideline reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, this is a walk down memory lane that I needed.
Ricky says Pat Summerall. Larry says Lindsey Nelson. Wes in Clarksville. Eli Gold. There's for Bama fans. You can hear him on some Cats games. Matthew in Nashville. Brent Musburger. Chris Berman. Viking Matt, I guess, just tuning in. What is the question of the day? It is?
If you could pick one announcer to come back and hear live one more, just one more time, who would you pick? I mean, it could be anybody today. Who would you like to hear more of, and what announcer that's no longer with us would you like to hear? I picked Chris Schenkel. Chaser picked Vince Scully. These guys are all iconic.
Yep. 615-737-1025. We'll get Kenny. Hold on. We'll get your answer and much more. We're up and running here at MTSU today. It's Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game on this Wednesday, live at MTSU. And hope that we're going to have Derek Mason join us here in just a second, head coach of the Blue Raiders. Real quick, Kenny the Mailman wants to answer our question of the day. Kenny, what's up?
Hello, good friends. Love the topic. Love thinking about when I was young. Monday Night Football was the thing when we were growing up, wasn't it, Joe? Are you there, Joe?
Oh, it was the best.
But
yep,
Howard
I'm here. Cosell I'm here, Kenny.
Howard Cosell was just there for show. If you turn the radio on, you got Jack Buck with Hank Graham, and he would actually call the play before it was running. And Jack Buck had the voice of God. So I love memories of listening to that. And I also like that guy who called the Arena Bowl championship game that was leaning out screaming, "Why'd you call that? Why did you call that?" Y'all remember that guy?
Sorry about that. That guy's great. He's the legend. He's the next face of everything.
Thank you, Kenny. He's the same guy that calls Blue Raider games. Thank you, Kenny. We say hello now to Derek Mason, head coach of the Blue Raiders here with us. Coach, what's up? How you doing?
Man, I've been in the lab. I've been down there with our coaches, man, on a Wednesday. Man, looking at this Wisconsin tape, man, and making sure, man, that we got the right stuff, man, to try to get ourselves up to Madison and go play well.
So I heard a high school coach say one time after a tough loss for his team, he said, you know, he's meet with the guys after the game, and they're upset and, you know, disappointed. He says, you guys have an opportunity that you haven't had this year.
Yeah.
That is the response. What's the response going to be? What are you going to learn from this, take from this, and use at the next game? And that's always stuck with me because that's more than just a coach thing to say. Like, that is – like, you can do that with anything in life of now you got the response. So what's that going to be? So how do you look at that as, you know, it obviously it was not what anybody wanted Saturday, but going into Wisconsin, a tough place to play in the Big Ten, now your guys have an opportunity to respond.
That's right. Wisconsin doesn't care.
Yeah, right.
Wisconsin doesn't care about the troubles or issues of the Blue Raiders. And And with that, I think like this, right? I mean, in a game one, you know, you don't minimize it. Yeah, I mean, are you a little perturbed, a little upset, a little pissed off? Absolutely. But here's the thing, right? I mean, like, there's lessons in it. Mm-hmm. And so you got to grab the lessons. Otherwise, man, it's just a loss that can compound itself. And so when you looked at it, not a fast start, like didn't play well, you know, offensive early, defensively, you know, just some miscues, not being able to get off the field. Parsons did a really good job, you know, playing off schedule a little bit. And you get behind. And then all of a sudden, man, you get an opportunity to put some points up, and you learn from that a little bit. You come out, and you have a chance to get off the field, and there's something there for you, right? Remember, we get penalized, and it keeps going. So, you know, when you look at the game, you go back. Man, there were tick marks. It's like the consistency of what you got to do offensively. It's, you know, like defensively, hey, you lose a couple of players, man, but what you got to do, man, is continue to find ways to get off the field. And that's this quality, this strain, this play-to-play mentality of doing the 5 feet in front of you. Yeah. I think sometimes guys get caught looking in the rearview mirror, and none of that really matters. The only thing you can do is work on the 5 feet in front of you. And so, you know, with that being said, there was a lot to pull from this game. Just so much so as a coach, man, that it was almost heavy to unpack. But what I will say is that, you know, in getting to it, you know, Sunday comes, Monday comes, yep. And then Tuesday you're right back on the grass. And so you got to move fast, because with 11 contests left, you can't afford any more, you know, learning lessons. You want wins.
Well, and when you watch the tape, I don't know if you probably watched it Saturday night or Sunday morning, what disappointed you more than anything else?
I thought how we started this thing. The kickoff to the college football season, and listen, things can happen, right? I do get things to happen, but man, but if you tell me that I'm going to have, you know, I'm in a quarterback in Nick Vadiato, you know, man, get the ball first, okay, man, at home. I definitely expected to go down and score, right?
Right.
So when that didn't happen, it was like, okay, we'll get it next run. But you just kept seeing the lack of strain and finish, whether it was a missed throw or a drop pass or a play not made, you know, it leads to 0-12. You don't get to 0-12 in one play. You get to 0-12 over a series of plays, right?
Yeah.
And so I think all of it for me was just like, okay, practicing well, having great game plans really doesn't mean anything, man. You got to perform.
Right.
Right. And that's what it came down to. So as we talked again, It's like, listen, I care about the performance, okay? So we have to perform, okay? I mean, the practice stuff, I mean, you got to do that, and you did that well. But we can't have performance anxiety. That's part of what college football is. So let's be better in the spaces that we're in. And I tell you what, they all have responded. But now, man, you got a little tougher challenge. But, you know, the tougher the challenge, the greater the opportunity.
Yeah, I love the psychology of coaching. Look, every coach has been on both sides of that.
No
doubt. You've won. It's every night. Hell, Vince Lombardi was bad starting out.
Right.
So how do you minimize the frustration and still coach at the same time? Because I'm telling you, you got some talented guys on this team. I'm telling you right now, you got some talented guys on this team. How do you minimize the frustration and say, look, we still believe in you?
Well, it's proximity versus presence. See, you can be in proximity and just allow things to happen, or you can be present and you can be with them. Mm-hmm. See, like, you got to be in it with them, because if they feel like it's you against them and not you with them,
yeah.
But then you lost them.
That's right.
Okay, so the idea is that, hey, man, what do we do? Okay, how do we make it better? Okay, well, then let's get back to, you know, like, what it takes to make it better. And it's the work, it's the challenge, it's the expectation, it's this idea of accountability. You know, like, when you look at it, you know, like, sometimes what happens is do you trust the process? Do you respect the process? Okay, is your effort at a fever pitch?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when we talk about accountability, are you willing to hold the man next to you accountable? Because
yeah.
when you looked at it, okay, it happened, and you didn't say anything. Well, if you didn't say anything, you're part of the problem, not part of the solution. And then it's the discipline in what we do to not fall to the lowest level of your training. Okay, prepare and always try to be at the highest level of it, because, you know, like, in situations, that's what we fall back on.
Yeah, that's right. All right. talking to MTSU football coach Derek Mason on the Chase and Big Joe show. How do you – I always like to ask this question. How do you prepare for 90,000 screaming fans?
We had so much crowd noise. I don't know if you heard it where you lived, but I tell you what, I got jump around and full crowd noise still blaring in my ear. It's been that way the last couple of days. Actually, the defensive staff towards the end of practice came over to me and said, "Hey, coach, you know they're not going to be playing that when we're up.
Right?
Can we get some of that turned down?" So I said, "I said no. We'll turn it down on Thursday." So Thursday's the day that they'll have very little crowd noise. But I just want them to get used to, you know, what that atmosphere is going to be like. You know, it's going to be rocking. It's going to be loud. It's going to be great energy. And within all that, man, you still have to make sure that you can control your focus.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to.
Have you coached there before?
Haven't coached there before. I've coached against Wisconsin a couple of times in bowl games, but never now. I do have two sister-in-laws, man, who are from Wisconsin.
Okay.
So I've been to Green Bay. I've been to Madison. But never to coach or play in a game.
What do road trips do for a team? Like I feel like, and I know it's, you know, it's a quick one. It's kind of an overnight thing. But I feel like there's something to that.
You know, road trips sometimes, road trips allow you to be sort of naive in the moment, mm-hmm. right, man? Because you don't get to think about, you know, all these other things going on, right? You go, you get to the hotel, man, you're in a new environment, you do this, you have your meetings, you go to bed, you wake up, you play, okay, and then it's on. So you're just like naive in the process of it. So the focus tends to be a little more on point, okay, when you're on the road, to me. You know, home, man, there's just a lot of stuff. You know, are your parents coming in, your tickets, your this, your that, man. You got a lot of stuff going on. But when you're on the road, it's just you guys. It's like 300. Yeah. You know, like the 300 while I'm in, right? It's you only. You may have a couple folks, that's great, but you know, when you go up against, you know, like the Persians, okay, it's just going to be you and your squad against the 90,000, 100,000. So let's get ready.
I love that. In college one time, we got our butt kicked really bad, and our coach said to us after the game, "I'm going to tell you I love you, but in a different way."
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I still love you, but I'm going to tell you in a different way.
Yeah, and that becomes the truth, right? That's the truth piece, right? Because, you know, I love you – you never stop loving, you know, like the players you coach, the young men that you're responsible for.
Right.
You never stop loving them. But when you have to talk about points, when you have to talk about sort of how things happen in life, you know, regret comes at you in one of two ways. Okay? There's the regret of, you know, hey man, I'm glad I did, or I wish I would've.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I mean, that's right. You know, like some people look at it and say, you know what, hey, man, I'm glad I did that. You know what, I mean, it was pretty good for me. Other people look at it and say, you know what, man, I'll never get that one back. We don't get Austin Peay back, but we do have an opportunity to go to Wisconsin and play the Badgers in Camp Randall, which will be electric. And, you know, we talked a little bit amongst the coaching staff about, you know, the 2012 team, Kevin Byard being a freshman, you know, what happened to that team? You know, man, when they lose to McNeese, then they have to turn around. They have to play Memphis and then Georgia Tech. And, you know, like, that's sort of how you have to respond. The resilience of the great thing about football is that you get one every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's so like, this turnaround, man, you got to look forward, man. You got to pull this thing forward. And right now, this group, like, to me, Monday was hard. Because it was a holiday and, you know, guys are sort of in their feeling. Sunday was really hard, but then Monday was hard, right? Because, you know, it's sort of a holiday, you know, no class, and they're sort of stewing in it. And then we came back on Tuesday and the work had to be done. So that's where we are right now. The heavy work, the heavy lifting has been done on a Wednesday. Now everything is above the neck and polishing, getting ready, you know, like to go on the road. And what I can tell you is they've got some players on that side that we have to be aware of, but I thought some guys played extremely well. Our D-line played well, okay, man, and we needed them to play well, like last week. You know, guys like DeMonte and, you know, Anthony Bynum and Shakai Woods. You know, Zion Simpson, you know, got 35 reps in that ball game. Like, to me, I saw the interior D-line play as well as I've seen. We got to hold up on the edges a little bit. We got to build some edges and make sure we can be top down, because if we can do that, you know, it gives us a chance, and all you want is an opportunity.
Right, sure.
All you want is an opportunity.
That's it. Well, you'll get it coming up on Saturday. We're looking forward to it. I'll be on the trip this week, so it'll be fun.
I like it.
And cheer you guys on. So thanks so much for doing this. I know you got some meetings, but we'll see you Saturday.
Chase, Big Joe, man, it's always good to be around you guys. You guys get it. You understand what it is. And you know what, man, we got to bring one home for you. So let's go Blue.
Absolutely. He's Derek Mason. We'll have more coming here from MTSU. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Wednesday, again, live on the campus of MTSU, Middle Tennessee State. We're in this beautiful football facility, the Smith facility here in the end zone, checking out Floyd Stadium. I mean, the turf looks awesome. I know it's new turf. Appreciate Coach Mason for stopping by.
Always.
Looking forward to being on the trip and seeing what they can do against Wisconsin coming up on Saturday, pregame at 1:30 on Totally Hits 93.3 as the Blue Raiders take on the Badgers. And Luke Fickell, of course, his best friend used to coach here.
Was he was Vrabel the best man in his wedding, or flip flop,
so,
or
one
something
of
like
them?
That?
I mean, I know they were. I think they were at Ohio State at the same time.
Yes. Yep. They faux show were. Yeah. So yeah, I always appreciate Coach Mason coming up here and talk. You know, it's funny, we talked to him during the break. It's just about X's and O's, which is great, because all too often you get stuck talking about NIL, which evidently that's the thing down in Alabama now. Is like, oh, our NIL, we're not spending money in the right places. Yeah. I mean, Alabama fans, you guys got to stop. You got your butt kicked on Saturday. It happens. We talked to Coach Mason. I mean, every coach, every fan base, every program has been on both sides of that. Now you got to go out. As Coach said, you know, hey, you another Saturday. You don't have to wait 6 months.
Yeah.
You got another Saturday. Go out and see what you do and get it done. That's why we love football. So, but it's good talking X's and O's. It's so funny because he's describing plays and moments and things, the breakdowns and things that went down. And it's just, you know, it's great hearing that, because football is football. Whether it's the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, or current football today, it's still about blocking and tackling, X's and O's and execution, and, you know, putting guys in the right spot. They can't play for them. They can't play, make them. The coaches can't get out there. Guys got to execute, and that's what it comes down to.
So I kind of shifting into the Titans as they get ready for Denver. One thing that I have noticed in listening to, you know, all our shows and people talk about this is how, I guess, surprised they were that Elik Iomanner was ahead of Van Jefferson on the depth chart, the unofficial depth chart that came out yesterday. Nothing else is really that surprising except for that. And again, I keep thinking of, like, is that an indictment of Van Jefferson? Is that Iomanner's had a good camp?
Uh-huh.
Or is that, you know what, he's not quite there yet, but we know he's going to get there, and maybe this will help him get there.
I am so glad you didn't bring up one thing talking about Iomanner, where he was drafted.
Now it doesn't matter.
Correct. So if he beat Van Jefferson out,
right,
fantastic.
Right.
Van Jefferson's an experienced NFL receiver. I think it's great. If he's the guy that they believe in, they scouted him, they watched him. I mean, he was their guy that they're in the fourth round to take. I got no problem with it. If they think he's better than Van Jefferson and can get the job done on the same page with Cam Ward, I think that's good. That is fresh. That's new. That's their guy. I have zero problem with it.
Yeah, and the other thing is, they don't necessarily need him to be the number two receiver by, you know, a certain point this year. I think they would like him to be. Mm-hmm. And that's not anything against Tyler Lockett, but you got Lockett on a one-year deal. He's an older player, you know, on the back nine of his career, however you want to put it. Iomanner is a young, talented receiver that if he shows you and, you know, grabs that brass ring, hey, I'm ready to do this,
yeah,
and be, you know, the number two to Ridley, or even challenge Ridley for being the number one guy, then you're thinking, if you're the coaching staff, you're going, okay, this is good. This is a step in the right direction. Now, that's probably also because your quarterback's playing well too.
Yeah, I hope the Broncos single cover Calvin Ridley with Pat Surtain.
Oh yeah,
because then if you're Ridley, you're thinking, all right, I get no respect. I know you're putting your best cover on me, but there's nobody behind. There's nobody high. There's nobody deep. And go out there and prove that you are an elite receiver. I mean, Calvin Ridley can go out on Sunday and prove he's an elite receiver in the National Football League. If Broncos want to do single coverage on him, fantastic. They want to do that and free up other guys, go get it done on Sunday. So I think there's opportunity here for Iowa Manor, for Lockett, for all these guys on offense really show up and show what they could do.
Is 1,200 yards realistic for him?
See, I don't – to me, that sounds – don't get mad at me.
I'm not.
The yard thing doesn't matter to me. Can you make the catch when you need to make the catch?
Sure.
That's what I want. Because he had a game last year of 100 yards, and they got their ass kicked.
Yeah.
So, to me, it doesn't matter. I don't play fantasy football anymore because mentally it was killing me. I had to get away from it. But can you make the catch when you need to make the catch? That's all I want to know. And I think Calvin Ridley can. And he talked about the second chance. He's actually a third chance he's got now to go out there and embrace this. To say he was with the Falcons, the Jags, now he's here. He went through the problem with mental issues. He had to step away, and I'm glad he's well now. And other things that went on with the issues off the field. So I think he can see himself, look, Cam, you and I can get something going here and roll with this. I'm excited to see that on Sunday because there could be something there with those two guys.
I'm with you. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A very simple question when it comes to the Titans and Sunday. What does a win mean? Does a win in game one mean? We will discuss.
How many hours we got to talk about that?
I know. Right? We will discuss that again live at Middle Tennessee State University's Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday down at MTSU. Our show is presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. We'll be at Barlines tomorrow. So looking forward to that. Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning in Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. What would a win mean Sunday for the Titans? It's a simple question. Some of you might be like, well, it would mean they're 1-0. And that is true.
That sounds so good. I temper this with saying the 2014 game when Wisenhunt beat Kansas City and they went 1-0. Like, yeah. Oh, man, boy, that's something. The next week they drop a, you know what, I think it was Johnny Manziel the next week or week three or whatever it was, and they lost and went down that way. And then 15, same thing. They beat Jameis, and you get 1-0. But this is different. This is a different feeling. This is a different everything because after what happened last year, you got the number one pick now, a new plate, new pieces coming together. I think if they win on Sunday, since they've moved here, it would be a top five win.
Because it's the number one overall pick. It's his
everything.
First. Yeah.
Everything come together, everything happening. What this team has been through, the coaching change. Is Callahan the right guy for the fit? New GM coming in after the disaster that Rand Carthon was. Is this it? I'm telling you, I think it might be a top five win for this franchise because now you see everything that's come together, and I think that's how important this game is on Sunday.
I agree with you. I think it takes some heat off Callahan. I think it takes some heat off just the organization in general. I think it gives a fan base that went through a 3-14 season last year and has just suffered the last few years, gives them something to be excited about. And it just kind of changes everybody's mentality, including the players on the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys that kind of have a chip on their shoulder right now. Now, I think it makes them hungry. I hope that it makes them hungrier for more. But even though I don't necessarily think it's going to happen, I think that it just changes the mindset in a positive way.
Here's what would be an ideal a week from now is talking about. The Rams play the Texans, right? Mm-hmm. Say Stafford hasn't played in the preseason.
No.
Bad back.
And as Tim and we discussed yesterday, you know people that used to have a bad back?
Right.
Right.
So – Texans lose, Stafford doesn't play, and the Titans win. Because the Rams come here next week. with no Stafford, beat up from playing the Texans. Titans are fired up after the momentum from there. Anything can happen. I mean, that's ideal, thinking what can go forward. But take care of business Sunday and Mile High and try to figure out what this team is, how you are, and go out. Nobody expects you to win. Was it 8.5 the spread now?
Yeah.
Nobody expects you to win except 53 guys in the locker room and a coaching staff. What's all you need? It's all you need to win.
If Stafford does not play, you'll either see Jimmy Garoppolo or Stetson Bennett.
Did Bennett take 100% of the snaps? I thought I read that this morning.
Because I think Garoppolo had something going on, too.
So you had Stetson Bennett took 100% of the snaps in preseason for the Rams. It's crazy that they did not bring anybody else in, but they maybe felt like Stafford's going to be there and ready to go. And I mean, Stafford is – I'm not going to tell you his age because we got a game coming up in a little bit. You're going to guess quarterback's ages.
All right.
It's different than our celebrity birthdays, which is the best segment in radio. We love celebrity birthdays, don't we?
We do. Yeah. It is.
Yeah, the best, right? Y'all love celebrity birthdays.
The people that don't like it play along too.
Exactly with all that. But we have a game. You're going to guess the age of starting quarterbacks in the National Football League. But there's a lot at stake on Sunday. That Broncos defense is really good. You're playing a really fired up crowd. They feel like this could be a Super Bowl team in Denver this year. Go out and deflate it, man. Go out and deflate that on Sunday and make them like, oh my God, we weren't as good as everybody thought we were.
So Adam in Portland takes umbrage, I think is the proper way to say it, with what you just said. A top five win in 26 years, regular season game, and you just said we got thumped previously after going 1-0. Contradicting yourself, not a top 20 win, but would be nice. Top five is absurd.
How am I contradicting myself? I just said what happened. I said don't temper your expectation what happened in 14 and 15.
Right.
You went 1-0, and then you catered after that. You craved after that. This is different.
Yeah.
You got the number one pick. Your franchise is in chaos right now. In 2014, you weren't in chaos because you came up with 13 season when you were 9-7.
You got – so four, was 14 the first year with Mariota?
No, 15 was.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. And it was like everybody was feeling good. It was just that was when I think, and it took some time, people started realizing how bad Wisenhunt was.
Yeah, 15. I would tell you, the 2015 opener is up there. I think that's a top 20 win for this Titans franchise because you beat the number one overall team on the road. It's what you do after going on. But in the midst of that game, that was an important win for the
team.
Was
that Pittsburgh?
Tampa.
Okay.
The next week they lost to, I forget who it was, week two. It might have been Manziel again in Cleveland.
Maybe.
On like that. But no.
Tampa was 2015.
Correct. Kansas City was 14.
Okay. All right. That's
so, Adam, before you could take umbrage all day, but tell me why this would not be a big win. At the state of the franchise right now, you're coming off the number one pick. Nobody gives you a chance. They think you're as bad as the Saints are, and you go in and you beat a team that people think might win the AFC West and go to the Super Bowl. Get out of here.
Yeah, look, I
nonsense.
I see what he's saying. I see what you're saying and tend to – I don't know. It's hard. I'd have to think back the top five wins currently of all time. I mean, is the miracle one because of how it ended?
I think so. Because it catapulted them to the Super Bowl.
I would say, all right, no particular order. These are just the first that are coming to mind. The 60-yard field goal by Rob Baronis to beat Indy, because Indy had been daddy to that point. That was pretty big.
Uh-huh. 06?
So I'd put that in 06 in there. I would say the Baltimore, beating Baltimore in the playoffs.
19.
Beating New England in 19. I mean, those are both considered.
Yep.
So that was, so there's two. What was another one? Oh, that win in Kansas City when it was like -2.
Is that the suck up long field goal?
Yeah.
It's a big win. I don't put it up there. I put the playoff game.
When Kelsey
got his bell rung.
Yeah.
That's up there. You could go back. I always think the first game when they beat the Bengals at Adelphia is one of the biggest wins up there. And I think I'm telling you, look at the state of the franchise right now, Adam, and see what a win will do for this team. where you are right now with all the new pieces and the number one pick in Cam Ward. What can you do? And is Callahan the right guy? And a new GM, yeah, and all the pieces moving in there, and nobody giving you a shot in hell to win the game. I mean, there's a large swath of eras where there's not any signature wins.
Yeah, I agree.
There's not.
Agreed. I mean,
and that's been the problem. I mean, I was talking to Terry McCormick the other day. He's in top five plays all time in Titans history, you know, and you run down. There's some big plays that happen and games and moments that happen. But game wins, these are huge that went on. And I think this is going to be up there.
I think because of – because, one, I think if they win, then the national – pundits that never talk about the Titans that bother some people because they never talk about the Titans,
yeah,
we'll talk about the Titans.
Absolutely.
Because the number one overall pick won his first game.
Go online and read what people are talking about the Broncos. That's the Broncos is the sweet team to upset Kansas City and get to the Super Bowl in the AFC. I mean, a lot of people are talking about that, how great Sean Payton is and Bo Nix and what he's done and that defense. That's a three-tier defense that you can't get past and all this and on and on and on. Beat them all that shut up.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks you can win on Sunday.
All right, so here's what Adam throws these out there. Music City Miracle, Colts, Jags, Ravens. Which ones? There's like
– playoff game? I mean, the 99 playoff. I get that.
Yeah. The Giants 21-0 Pac-Man game.
That's when Vince rallied. Like, remember Kiwanuka tackled Vince, and they didn't throw the flag?
McNair, Bennett in the end zone.
But that's not – listen to me, Adam. Those are great wins. Those are great wins. This win on Sunday, what it would do for the franchise. The game against the Giants in 06 was a great win. It's not a top five win. What do you do with that team that season? They went 8-8 in 06.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
Right. No, Adam, those are all great moments in Titans history, but you win this Sunday in Denver against the Super Bowl.
You can change a lot of things.
Now Callahan can get up there and beat his chest Sunday and say, look, believe in us. We told you all along we had something here. There's so much at stake for this team on Sunday that it's almost mind-boggling to think what all the positive things could come out of this.
And I think Callahan should beat his chest.
I would too. Absolutely.
There's a lot of chest beating going on lately. Some probably not warranted, but his would be good.
But you do it when you win celebrity birthdays, America's favorite game.
I do. Dr. Crane does too.
Right.
Which is good. We'll have that at the end of today's show at 2:45.
Once every leap year when I bang my chest.
So I'm looking, I was talking to Coach Mason about Vince Lombardi. I love old school football. Well, today Vince Lombardi passed away on this day in 1970.
Yeah.
You know how old he was when Vince Lombardi passed away? He had cancer. He left the Packers, went to the Redskins.
52.
Well, he's good for you. He's 57.
57.
I mean, he looked 80.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the way it is back there. It's my age. I'm looking at me at Vince Lombardi. I'm about to turn 57.
You're the Vince Lombardi of this station.
I don't think I'm a winner. I'm a complainer, but that's all right there.
We'll continue this discussion a little bit later in the show, but I have a college football topic/question for all of you. Something that I thought about on the way in today. I was listening to Next Man Up and kind of sparked this. I'll explain it coming up next. Chase and Big Joe live at MTSU, 102.5 The Game.